You know what? As I introduce Doug today, by the way, he is now Dr. Douglas Sloan.
Oh, you blessed me. Like, no, thank you.
And I'm so very proud of him.
Bless me.
And he's one of our licensed ministers here at New Song and a part of our teaching team, and we love him so dearly. So,
thank
Doug,
you, PJ.
Hand it over to you.
What a great team. Are we blessed to have wonderful leadership or what, y'all? I mean, this is a place. Woo! Come on, y'all. Come on. This is a place where you can really grow. You know, the thing that really I loved about our church when I came here 8 years ago was PJ said, you know what we're all about? We're all about not a big church, but about big people, growing big people. Can you imagine the power of one? The power of one is incredible. Think about all those ones of the world. Think about being a big person in God and what that could do to change the world. Think about this for a second.
Hey, Reva, there's a very special day coming.
Yeah, Leah, that's what I heard too.
It's called Father's Day.
I'm really glad I have Dad.
Yeah, he's irreplaceable.
You can say that again.
Yeah.
He's irreplaceable.
Our story is not a secret.
When we were just little tiny babies, we didn't have a father.
We were fatherless.
I don't really remember it very much.
Me either. We were pretty young.
But we were adopted into a loving family.
In the past.
My dad is not a pretend dad.
Or a partial dad.
Or anything less than my really dad.
And I'm his really daughter.
And I'm his really son.
It's a pretty good deal, actually.
There are a lot of people in this world
who don't have a father.
Or who have a bad father.
Maybe that's your story.
Or maybe you can't even imagine
being loved by a good father.
But on this Father's Day,
no matter your situation,
we got some really great news.
There's a heavenly father,
and he's a really, really good daddy.
And when you choose him,
God adopts you into his family.
And he becomes not a pretend dad,
or a partial dad,
or anything less than your really dad.
And you become his really child.
Amen.
Woo!
We may be young, but two things we know from experience.
First, the love of the good father
is something to treasure forever.
Second,
God is a good father.
Being his child
makes Father's Day extra special.
Happy Father's Day, everyone!
That is just awesome. I tell you, if that doesn't get you excited, your exciter's broken. Yeah, I mean, isn't he a really good father? I tell you what. So today, I'm so excited because I'm so excited to share with you Father's Day from the lens of Doug. So I said, because it's so important that I share this, because when I saw this video, my father came to my mind. And I realized that we view Father God through the lens of our fathers many times. And I was like, wow, let me think about Dad and this idea of he's really our father. And this idea started with Dad right there. He's 42. And he met this wonderful German lady. Mom right there is 23. Now, as you can see, he was a strapping young man, older man. And let me just share with you some shots of what Dad was like. He always loved people. People were a part of his life everywhere that he was, you know, everywhere that he went. And then one day, I had to sum Dad's life up. I will never forget when the cemetery people let me have this sheet of paper. And they said, you've got these blocks to sum up your father's life. And that's all you've got. That was incredible. So what the Holy Spirit really put on me was those four words down there, godly, husband, father, and friend. And I realized that that is the way that I looked at my heavenly Father God. Now, I'm an only child, so the lens that I'm going to be speaking to you today is a story of just overwhelming awesomeness. And as a only child, because I've had a great life. And what I did today was I brought some very special things with me because my father was the rock star of my life. So the first thing I have is my father's watch, which stopped on, this watch is stopped at 6:44 on October the 23rd, 2010. And this watch is so special because this was his watch. This was the heartbeat. Even though time stopped, the legacy that he left for me was incredible. And that's why I became very sensitive to the Father heart of God and his awesome word, his love letter to us, because when my father passed, that's the one time that nothing's secret, you know, in the house, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm like going into the Holy of Holies because Dad said never mess with this stuff, you know, but now all of a sudden he isn't here. As a only child, I have to go through everything. So I get to finally, your whole life is exposed. And what I found in the first thing I found was his Bible. And to just show you this for a second, I mean, it is marked up. It is colored. I mean, it is just so precious to him. And he used to have this in his little shirt pocket here all the time. And in the back, he would have notes. And he would ask people to sign it. So when I found this, I found the names of people that he ministered to that were prisoners at Federal Penitentiary in Atlanta, Georgia. So the names in the back of here are prisoners that he served as the chaplain there for 21 years. And he loved them and prayed for them. So imagine what these people are doing today. I don't know, but just think of those seeds. And so that's the actual lens that I speak from you is have had the joy to have an awesome father. But you know, we all, as Christians, don't forget there's one decision you have to make, right? One decision, but many choices throughout life. So as we go through this today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just help affirm the most important decision you will ever make in your life is to choose that your Heavenly Father loves you and gave his life for you. And that there is a Heavenly Father who is all in for you that loved you so much that he came that you could be adopted into his family. So let's ask God to show up and do what he does so great. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we can share as a family of faith. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for the sweet presence that's here right now. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come, because, Lord, without you, without your Holy Spirit, there's no information in the world that can change hearts. Only you can change the heart of us, Lord. So we ask that you would come, speak to us right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So a real father, a real heavenly father When you decide to follow Jesus, you get grafted into the vine. You become part of a family that's so awesome, makes you want to say awesome sauce. I learned that word last week. I said, awesome sauce, that's a pretty good word. I've learned a lot of fun words since I've come to Kentucky. And so, yeah, I'm an Atlanta boy. And so, yeah, we have a lot of fun words. And so, real father, think about this, relationship, the R, relationship. We love because he first loved us. Matthew 6:8 says, don't be like them, for your father knows what you need even before you ask. Now, have you guys ever thought about what love that is? Beth tells me that I love her the most when I do something before she asks me to do it. God says that same thing. I love you even before you ask. I love you. I gave to you. That is just awesome. I mean, think about that, that he loved us even before we ask. He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. Are you feeling this, that the God of the universe wants to have relationship with us? Now, don't forget, y'all, we're kind of messy, right? If I was God, I would not have chose Doug to be his voice piece for the world. I would have chose, he chose us, y'all. I mean, that was his master plan. I would have maybe had a different plan but no, God chose to have relationship with frail, broken. He picked 12 people that nobody on the face of the earth would have probably picked, right? He says, I want to have relationship with these people because you know what? They're going to change the world. That's incredible, huh? So relationship is where it all starts, that God wants to have a relationship with us. Equipper. Think about this for a second. God desires to equip us. One thing I was so thankful about my wonderful father was he was so intense on equipping me for what God had for me. My dad, he would pray. So as many of you guys know, I've shared my story with some, but I've got a pretty interesting, wild story. But I grew up in inner city Atlanta, Georgia. I was the only white guy from 2 years to 18 in my neighborhood. But this shows you my father. My father says, no, Doug, we're called to be right here, and we're not moving nothing. We are right here. And I'm like, well, I'm with you, Dad. It's cool. So as you can tell, there were a lot of fighting moments probably. Yeah. But so what Dad would do is, and even at my funeral, my father's funeral, I wish you could have seen it. It was a interfaith, interracial funeral. I mean, and many of my neighbors came up and said, let me tell you about Mr. Sloan now. I would be beating on Doug and I'd be getting on him. Mr. Sloan would come out and grab us and he'd bring us in the house and put us on our knees. He'd lay hands on our back and he'd start praying. I didn't know what he's doing. I was like, Dad, I hope you know what you're doing. Yeah, but Dad, I mean, they would testify that Dad would bring us in there, put us on our knees, and he would pray over us. Wow. Because Dad had such a desire to have relationship with us all and to equip us to do what he knew that God had designed for us to do. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, y'all, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Who remembers poema? Remember those days? Yes, That is what that is all about. Now, these are the gifts of Christ. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. God's heart was to equip us to do the mission that he had for us. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Uh-oh, y'all, come on. That I go away, for if I do not go, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And that helper is who? Woo, come on. Come on. So my father got saved in the Jesus movement. How many of you guys remember that? I mean, that was a wild time, y'all. I mean, Dad got, so he was a soldier right at the end of World War II, Korean War. And he told me of a lot of life-threatening situations that he had. But in the, he got radically saved. I'm talking radically saved. And in the 60s, my dad was found on the streets of downtown Atlanta witnessing, I'm talking big, bold, and brave. I mean, when it was incredible. So, yeah, so that was, my father was just totally on fire and really equipped to do the Father's work. And so those are seeds that he sowed into me. And, you know, my whole life, I can hear Dad saying over and over, son, love and pray, love and pray, love and pray. And I'll say, but Dad. He'd say, love and pray, son, love and pray, love and pray. So lots of work still is not finished within my own family, but I hear Dad's voice saying, love and pray, love and pray, love and pray. Attitude. So we're talking about real. R, relationship. E, equipping. And God asks us to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Think about this. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in harmony. Unity. The power of unity is unbelievable. Every year as we go through the scriptures, I always get amazed when we get to the section on the Tower of Babel. And I pause and I rewind it and I listen to it at least two or three times because I'm like, God, I still have heard this so many times, but I still can't believe that even you said, it says God looked down and saw that the people were so unified that there was nothing they couldn't do. Now, y'all, God said this. This is crazy, isn't it? I mean, my little four-pound brain still cannot fathom this. The power of God saying they could do anything they want to. So I'm going to have to scramble the eggs. I'm going to have to scramble their voices because nothing is impossible for them. Unity, harmony, unity. Think about that, how important it is that we come together in unity. 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. That's why I can hear my father's voice so much just circling through my head, love and pray, because he knew what it was like to live a life of hurt. And my father shared that with me over and over, all the hurts that we have in this messiness that we call life, right? I mean, he would share that with me. And but all he would say, I never heard my father say any negative thing ever, which is probably why I am the way I am, you know. It's because I just hung out with him my whole life. So the lens of life that I have is through his eyes to just love people and to pray. Love and pray. His life was summed up just that simple. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now let's pause for a second and think about this. A new command. This is, okay, God, a new command. Is this, which command is this? It's a new one. So let's refresh back. Let's rewind. So what was the first command that God gave? Think about that for a second. To serve the Lord your God with all your body. I think we said it all, heart, soul, mind, and body. And then he said, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So this form of love, he was saying, love your neighbor and love yourself. Now he says, and now I give you a new command. Now this was a very powerful thing because guess what? Jesus is about ready to go away. He's preparing his disciples that, man, something awful about to happen. And they're going, no, 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 no. And Jesus is saying, a new command I give to you, love one another. Look at the difference here. Now he's assuming that we've figured out the first two. Christ is saying, okay, now that you got the first two, you got the first two, right? Okay, we got the first two. Now, love one another as I have loved you. I've been with you for a while now. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. I can recall my father. Y'all, my father was so positive. Beth, I shared this with Beth. So mom calls me on my birthday, October 20th of 2010. Says, Doug, you better come home quick because I'm going to have to call 911 and take dad to the hospital, but I want you to be here first. I'm like, okay, mom, great. So I jump in the car and start driving to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm like, ooh, Jesus, here we go. So I didn't know what was ahead. So I walk in, and dad's sitting up in the bed, and he goes, son, what you doing here? And I was like, well, dad, the doctor thinks you're not doing too well, and you need to come to the hospital. He said, son, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm not going to die now. I'm okay. Why are you here? I don't want to interrupt your life. You go back to Beth and the boys. It's okay. Well, I say, Dad, what do you think? And he's like, I'm okay, son. So I'm like, this is really strange. And so Dad's saying he's okay. I mean, just positive, upbeat. And so Mom says, no, Doug, okay, I'm going to call now. I said, Mom, are you sure? I'm like, okay. And so we call and we take Dad to the hospital, and the last words he said was, how you doing, Derek? Those were his last words, because when they were putting him in the back, he saw a neighbor who would come running over the house when all the neighbors came running in our house. And I was like, hey, everybody. They were going, hey, Doug, what's up with Mr. Sloan? They said, well, it looks like we need to take him to the hospital. But the last thing he was thinking was for other people. And those were his last words. And 3 days later, we were sharing what a man of God this was. Just amazing. Love. I mean, I've just never seen anybody love so much. Leadership. Leadership. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. My father literally could have had anything that he wanted, but he had everything that he needed. It was incredible. He could live anywhere because there was just us three. I mean, it's just us three. So he could have moved anywhere, lived in any place, done anything. But he said, no, 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 no. I am here. God has called me to serve. And he modeled that way. And so he did not budge. He says, I'm not budging until God says budge. And so John 13:8, I saw my father do this many times, and it freaked me out the first time, but my father said, Doug, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the least. My dad washed many people's feet, prisoners. I was like, wow, Dad, this is crazy. I mean, I can see myself as a young man going with him, thinking, Dad, you could do anything, but you are on the floor washing prisoners' feet. I'm like, Dad, why are you doing this? And he said, son, because Jesus said to. It's that simple. Peter said the same thing. No, why are you doing this, Jesus? And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And that's where the heart of servanthood hit me at a very young age. The heart that the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I think that's why I felt really called to serve, because my father served in the Army for 20 years, 6 months, and 10 days. So it's funny, I served also for 20 years, 6 months, and 11 days. Because I said, well, if 10's good, I'll just do one more. And then that'll be good for me. Yeah. So, yeah. So we both lived that life of, I think I just felt called to do that because I was just following in his footsteps because it was so awesome. So it's this idea that real father, that Jesus is your real daddy. He desires to have relationship with you. I mean, that's incredible. The God of the universe that spoke this universe into existence. You know, I don't know that our 4-pound brain will ever get that. I just don't know. But boy, it's fun trying, huh? I think that we just accept it by faith and go, God, yes, yes. He equips us. He equips us to do good works. One of my favorite sayings is do it afraid. Because I don't think we're ever not afraid to do the things God calls us to do. Because when he calls us to do, they're usually so big, we're like, ah! We're like, God, if you don't show up, we're both in trouble. Because I ain't got nothing. And oh boy, holy cow. And I'm feeling, so yeah. Many times God speaks to me like that and says, just as Doug, step out in faith, do it afraid. Because I have sent the advantage to you, and the advantage, the Holy Spirit lives in our lives. Is that awesome or what? Man, come on, y'all. Attitude, all things being equal, attitude is always the difference maker. It's always the difference maker. And I would say of my entire life, that's the one thing that those that have not met Jesus yet can't understand. They can understand happiness, because happiness comes and kind of goes, right? They can understand that, and they can understand this is a happy moment, but they don't understand joy, and this idea of joy unspeakable and full of glory. They can't, like we lived in Salt Lake City, Utah for a year, and Doug was a very weird phenomenon to Salt Lake City, Utah, because I worked in the heartbeat of it, and that's the one thing that was a little bit unexplainable to all the friends who would come over our house Sunday afternoon. Some beautiful friends on bikes and black suits would come over to my house, and I'd welcome in. It was beautiful. And they would come in, and we would share, and they kept asking me. They would just keep saying, I just don't understand this idea of where's the joy come from? I said, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Let me just share with you. Yeah, so that's what I really want to encourage you is that we as Christians have the most awesome gift in the world to give people is joy. By exuding that, it gives hunger to folks who don't have that. So, yeah, attitude. They that hunger and thirst, yeah. And leadership. So here we go. Here's the big question. Does anybody in this room influence anybody? So if you're an influence, if you influence anybody, raise your hand. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, guess what? You're all leaders. Yes. Yeah. It's that simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate leadership so much with this huge definition, and we're like, leadership is the motivational technique of inspiring people to do something that they wouldn't do themselves, and rather, I'm like, no. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. If you influence anybody, you're a leader. So yes, think about that. Think about the influence that you have every day on people that you meet. Think about that. You're either going to lift people up or you're either going to push them down. People are either going to run to you or people are either going to run away from you. You have to make the choice. What type of leader, what type of influencer do you want to be? Many people look at Christ like that. Oh God, I want to run away. Dependent on how we're feeling, if we're listening to the voice of shame, if we're listening to the voice of guilt, right? If we're listening to a unholy spirit, So don't forget, there's only two kinds, right? A Holy Spirit and an unholy spirit, right? It's just that simple. It's which voice are we listening to? Are we listening to a fruit of the Spirit, or are we listening to a sour fruit of an unholy spirit? Guilt, shame, condemnation, all that. Or are we listening to love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering? Yeah. That's the influence that this world is hungry for so much, y'all. And they look to that in us. That is just awesome. So, real Father, our real Father, our Heavenly Father wants to have relationship with us, wants to equip us, wants us to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Like we used to say, what would Jesus do? And to influence this world for the cause of Christ. So with that, let's pray. Father, we just love you so much, and we thank you that you came to be our really, really, really awesome dad. You came to graft us into the vine. Father, you came that we could have life and have it to the fullest. You came to encounter us. You came to us first. You ran to us. Father, that seems incomprehensible because many times we don't feel that we deserve it. We feel we have to work for it. We feel we have to do something. So, Father, right now, I just pray that if those are here and you haven't had a chance, if you're saying right now, Doug, this sounds so good. This sounds so good. I want it so bad, but I don't know what to do because I feel so unworthy. Let me tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, I love you. I want to be your dad. I want to come and wash you and make you clean. There's just one choice you have to make, and that's simply to admit that you failed, that you're a sinner, to invite me into your heart that I could come and make you clean, and to make one awesome decision, and that's to choose to accept me as your father. So for those of you that would like to do that now, and for those of you that are saying, yes, 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 that's what I want, you're feeling the Holy Spirit well up within you right now, just say this beautiful prayer after me, and it would be a joy to invite you to relationship with a real Father. Just gently say, Jesus, I admit that I've failed. I admit that I'm a sinner. But I thank you that you desire me, and I feel that prompting in my heart right now, that no matter what's happened so far to this date, I know I can't go back and repair the past, but God, right now, I accept you into my life, and together we create a new future. I don't understand that, God, but Lord, I just sense it right now. It's as real as anything I've ever felt, because the Holy Spirit is making that real. So, Father, come. Create in me a new heart. I give myself to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And no matter what the past looked like, no matter what voice you were listening to in the past, the new voice that's in your head is saying that old things have passed away and all things have become new, and you serve a really, 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 really good Father who wants to have relationship with you, who wants to equip you to go out there and do things you never dreamed you could ever do yourself, to give you an attitude that you never even thought you could have because he's changing your heart even as we speak right now, and to help you influence and lead people for the cause of Christ. Love you all so much. Amen. Turn it back over to Pastor Jeff.